Well, last week, we heard about the baptism of Jesus. We heard how Jesus came to John at the Jordan, and the dialogue that happened between John and Jesus. And it seems to be a totally different scene than we see today. Well, part of that is because last week we heard from one of the other gospel writers. Today, we hear the story from the Gospel of John. And there are two very different perspectives that are being taken by these gospel writers. And so we need to think about that just a little bit. We actually don't see Jesus being baptized by John in the Jordan in today's gospel lesson, but rather we hear the testimony that John the Baptizer gives toward Jesus. And that is following a logical pattern if we see it within the context of the Gospel of John. For those first verses of John's Gospel, that first chapter, we heard read here in this place on Christmas Day in the morning at the 10 o'clock service, where the Gospel of John begins, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God," etc., etc., etc. Part of that piece of the gospel is the reality that John the Evangelist tells us about John the Baptizer. There was a man, and his name was John, and he came to give testimony to the light. He was not the light, but he came to give testimony to the light. Okay, we hear this today when we hear John the Baptizer give testimony. So what is testimony? Testimony is the telling out of the truth as one sees it in the eyes of their heart. When we go to a court of law, we are told we are to give testimony. We are to tell the truth, full truth, and nothing but the truth. But the reality is, we can only tell the truth as we have seen it and perceived it for ourselves. And that's what John is doing here. He is giving testimony about Jesus. He is telling the truth about Jesus as he has seen it and experienced it. And so he makes reference to this prophecy that he was given, the word that was given to him, that said, when you see the Spirit of God descend on someone and it remains on that person, this is the one. John the Baptizer makes that eminently clear, that Jesus is the one. Now, the problem is that we see this and we say, okay, that's good. We too believe that Jesus is the one. And unfortunately, that's where we stop. We don't think all the way through. Because when we think it all the way through, we realize that this phenomenon that we call the Spirit descending upon Jesus, we kind of act like it was only Jesus on which the Spirit descended. But the reality is, it is the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that comes on us. It is the same Spirit that is given to us in the waters of baptism. It is the same Spirit that descended upon those first disciples on that first Pentecost. It's not like, well, that was the big Spirit and then we got the little Spirit. It's the same Spirit. And so the reality is that all that the Spirit is doing in the life of Jesus actually becomes part of what the Spirit does in our lives. And that's where we fail. We fail to understand something critically important. That we can't simply look at the ministry and the mission of Jesus and say, oh, yeah, it's good. He did those things since he's the Son of God, after all. He knows everything. He can do everything. He's all-powerful. He's just like God. But the reality is we believe, and we have been celebrating over these past weeks, that Jesus came among us to be one like us in all things but sin. That means that perhaps, just perhaps, Jesus didn't have in his own mind fully formed all the things he was going to do, all the things he was going to accomplish, and all of the, you know, a master plan of how all of this was going to work out. If he is truly like us in all things but sin, Jesus himself is in the process of discovering what God is calling Jesus to do. A different way of thinking about it. And so it is the coming of the Spirit upon Jesus that is the beginning of Jesus' mission and ministry. The same way it is our beginning of mission and ministry in the name of Christ. It is the same Spirit. No matter when we get it or see it or recognize it, it is that same Spirit that comes upon us as it came upon those first disciples. The question becomes, then, how do we see the Spirit? And maybe there's a key in today's gospel lesson, because John had his disciples. Now, disciples are students who follow a great teacher. And a teacher is someone who, like John, testifies to the truth as they know it in whatever field they are teaching. Now, when it comes to proclaiming the good news, that's a rather broad spectrum of things, but in point of fact, it's what John did. So his disciples are with him. Now, some scholars conjecture that maybe, you know, Jesus didn't just wake up one morning and decide, okay, now I'm going to be the Son of God. Now I'm going to go out and I'm going to do all these things. I'm going to heal people, I'm going to teach, I'm going to get disciples. Again, he didn't have this fully formed strategic plan in his head. But rather, he had to learn the ways of God like any person in his day would, by studying the scriptures, by hearing the prophets, by living out the Torah, living out the law of God in his daily life. And some scholars would say that the evidence in the scripture, carefully studied, says that maybe, just maybe, Jesus at first was actually a disciple himself. But he was a disciple of John. Now, we know in a few weeks, you know, we're going to celebrate Ash Wednesday, and the first Sunday in Lent is that wonderful story that we hear every year, Jesus being driven out into the wilderness by the Spirit. Well, what did he do out there? Well, we hear about the temptations and so on. But where did John come from? But the wilderness. And perhaps, just maybe, Jesus spent time in the wilderness being tutored by John. Maybe John's radical view of the world and of the law of God and how it all worked together. Maybe that radical view of John was the beginning of Jesus' realization of who he was and what his mission was designed to be. So that even as John emerges from the wilderness and does his thing, standing one foot in the Old Testament and one foot in the New, as we say, that in fact, he was Jesus' first rabbi, first teacher, because John knew the Torah well. Better yet, he knew the prophets deeply. And so not only does Jesus know the Torah from his daily life, as he was taught by his parents and his community in the synagogue, but rather he learned the ways of the prophets with John. And so now Jesus emerges into our awareness with all the law and the prophets at his disposal. And he takes up this ministry, this mission that is given to him by God. I mentioned already how, you know, that Spirit that came and alighted upon Jesus, often we represent it by a dove, as we have in our own iconography here in church. Well, that's just that. It's a symbol. The Spirit is not a bird. Spirit isn't a pigeon. It's what a dove is. It's a nice pigeon. It's not that at all. But it is in that sense of the easy flight of a bird where it goes easily from one place to the other and rides the wind, that we get an image of what the Spirit and how the Spirit actually works. And so if the Spirit is this sort of free creation, is free, like a bird is free, don't we say, free as a bird, and goes anywhere, wherever it will, and rides the wind. Maybe that's what John is trying to tell us, that when the Spirit falls on Jesus and remains with Jesus, this is the one whom God has chosen. It means the Spirit is at Jesus' disposal whenever Jesus needs that power to do the work that God has called him to do. Suddenly, we see a shift. We talked about John having disciples out there in a wilderness, John having disciples even as he comes out of the wilderness. But John points to Jesus and he says, this is the one. Suddenly, one of his own disciples, Andrew, and another, they just leave John behind and say, okay, and they start following Jesus. And Jesus looks at them and says, well, what do you want from me? Jesus answered to them when they answer the question to him, Lord, where do you live? They want to know where he lives so that they can spend time with him. He says, come. Come and see. That's the core, the central idea that we need to take away today. In fact, Jesus is telling all of us, like he told Andrew, come, spend time with me. Come, see where I live. Live with me. Walk with me. Talk with me. You will learn the ways of God. That is what being a disciple is. But in the same way that someone is a disciple, so too a disciple takes on the character of their teacher. And so as they live and work and walk and listen and speak with Christ, so too they become as Christ is. Fully formed in their minds and hearts, not until that first Pentecost day when the wind came upon them and stayed with them and walked out into the world and started preaching the good news of Jesus to everyone who would listen. These first disciples, it took a while for them, as it takes a while for us as well. You know, being a teacher is a grave responsibility. There was a time in my life when I was a much younger priest, and I can tell you the temptation in my life is ambition. I want to walk with the powerful. It's easy to do that in the church if you just put yourself in the right place at the right time. And so I was very busy doing that sort of thing and was called by the bishop to come and work on his staff. And so I thought, boy, I'm in the middle of it now. I'm actually the position I held. I was third in charge of the diocese. Well, 4.5 years later, it wasn't working out so well. So I went in to talk with the bishop, and we had negotiated what would happen. And rather than go back to a parish, which is what I was expecting, he said, I want you to teach at the seminary. I said, okay. Dutifully, I made the transition. I went out to the seminary, began to teach my courses and so on. But in the process of doing that, you know, I felt, boy, I have failed. I failed in my designs. I failed in my goals and my objectives, you know, the strategic plan that we're supposed to put together for our own lives. And I said, now I'm just going to be a teacher. And then I started to get little notes from other more senior priests in the diocese, and one of them in particular stood way out for me because it was somebody who I knew and respected and valued. And the note simply said, David, congratulations on your promotion. I went, did he hear it right? Not like I went up the ladder, I went down the ladder a little bit. And so I saw him at a gathering once, and he said, and I went up to him and I said, Father, what did you mean, promotion? I don't look at it as a promotion. He said, and he laughed, and he kind of looked at me. He said, David, don't you realize When you are a teacher in the seminary, what you teach these students will now be part of the church's life. They're going to take what you teach them and all the other teachers, your colleagues, and they're going to go out and in their careers and in their work, they're going to do what you teach them to do. This is a big responsibility, and so it's more responsibility than you had before. Well, maybe I didn't have the kind of authority where I could say, go here and people go and that sort of thing, but rather, it dawned on me what a disciple and what a teacher really is. And so when Jesus talks to these first disciples and he says, come and see, he's not just saying, be curious and kind of figure out where I live. He's saying, do what I do. Walk the way I walk. Talk the way I talk. And then go out into the world and do that. And that is exactly what they did. And now, 2,000 years later, those messages still reverberate in the hearts and minds of people throughout the world, including you. Those first disciples, Andrew, when he said, show us where you live, and Jesus said, come and see, that was the beginning of a process that is still going on today. Because generation after generation, disciples have made new disciples. Generation after generation, others have called yet another generation to come and see. And they can do this because the same Spirit that hovered over Jesus and, as John said, remained with him, that same Spirit hovers over you and remains with you. You are living in the same Spirit that anointed Jesus. Your mission, your ministry, is to do the same. It is to come and see, so that as we become so familiar with Christ, we begin to understand and to live in the pattern of his life, in the pattern of his words, the life that God desires for us. We become his disciples. We look for him as our master teacher. A teacher whose teaching is so powerful that it resonates in the minds and the hearts of people thousands of years after they were first spoken. The only way that this mission is successful is if you take that responsibility. That as the bishop asked me to go to the seminary and teach, and that senior priest opened my eyes to how important a mission and ministry this is, to take on that responsibility and teach others. Go out into the world and tell others the good news, the gospel. Go out into the world and show others how we live. Go out into the world and invite others. Come. Come and see what a difference Jesus can make. This is our high calling. This is our great responsibility. As we celebrate the Feast of Epiphany in these weeks, how Jesus is made manifest to us in so many ways, this is one clear way we celebrate his showing forth the very love and immense mercy of God. That this wasn't just for a chosen few, but for everyone in the world. So you, brothers and sisters, you are the missioners. You are the ministers. Because by your baptism you have been joined to Christ and you have been sealed in the Holy Spirit, and that sealing remains with you always, so too now you are the very presence of the Son of God. And you must carry out that work. Jesus calls us to come and see, not because we individually are special, but because each and every one of us has a role to play. Each and every one of us has the capacity to teach. Each and every one of us is used by God to make new disciples wherever and whenever we can. This gospel lesson is not only about John testifying to the light and the Spirit covering, falling upon Jesus, but it really is about us. That John's testimony to the light is to the light that lives in your hearts. It is a testimony of the life that you can give to the world. It is a testimony that raises us up as children of the Most High.